Matthew chapter 6. We're going to continue our series on prayer. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 9. It says this, "Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread." Let's read that together. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespass, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But when you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you." Here's what you need to understand. Prayer is not just asking God for things. You see, prayer is learning to trust in God. You see, as we've walked through the Lord's Prayer, we've learned that Jesus, when he instructs his disciples to pray, he first teaches them to acknowledge who God is. Our Father who is in heaven. Two things. One, our Father means that before our prayers ever begin with requests, they should always begin with our acknowledgement of the relationship that we have between him and us. He is our Father, and we are his children. Prayer always begins with relationship. But it also must continue with reverence and worship and fear, where you're honoring him and you're lifting his name and you're exalting him and you're giving the glory due unto him, because he's not just Father, but he's also King. He's Master. He's Ruler. He's Lord. He is the King who rules in heaven. And if he rules in heaven, the earth is his footstool and the heavens are his throne. He is your King. And therefore, if he is your King, then you must acknowledge there's a kingdom that you are living for that is not a kingdom that is of this world. And so if you're going to ask for him to do anything, ask for him to rule and ask for him to reign in your life and ask for him to have full sovereignty and full governance in your life. Because listen to me, prayer must begin with devotion before it can continue with dependence. Now Jesus shifts to something incredibly practical where he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." It's only seven English words, but they teach us an entirely different way of living, and it teaches us to have an entirely different perspective, not just an independence of our own. You see, what happens with prayer is in prayer, we learn not to be self-sufficient. And we're not used to that because we love to be self-sufficient. We love to be independent. But prayer forces us not to live in a life of independence, but a life of dependence upon the only one who which can do anything for us, the only one who has anything to offer, the only one from which everything comes from. Everything in your life, the breath in your lungs, the money you possess in your bank account, the job that you have to get that money, everything in your life comes from the goodness of God. And it's something that you must depend on him for. And you see, I don't naturally actually like depending on people. In fact, if you know me at all, you know I don't like to depend on anyone. It's why when my team tells me to sit out and relax and not come to set up, I start to hyperventilate because I don't like to depend on people. I like to be here and setting up chairs. But maybe you're the same way. You see, I like having enough money in my bank. I love having enough gas in my car. I love having enough food in my refrigerator. I love having enough plans for tomorrow, enough answers, enough control, because when I have enough, that feels safe for me. But the problem is that every once in a while, God allows us to reach the end of ourselves where we have these unexpected bills or these unexpected health scares and these unexpected job certainty or maybe some family struggles, moments when you realize that I can't fix this on my own. I can't fix this by my own strength. I can't make enough money. I can't do enough things. I can't run enough places. I can't continue to work myself down into the ground enough. And in those moments, we discover something that is so important, that is that dependence is not weakness. Dependence is where faith begins. And I'll tell you, man, I have found myself in that place where I have felt the weakness or felt like I was weak because I needed to depend on God or depend on something, but dependence is where faith begins. You see, the hardest prayer for a proud person is to say, God, I need you. The hardest prayer for a proud person is to say, God, I need you. Why? Because our culture teaches us something that's very antithetical to the Bible, and that is that we can rely on ourselves. They teach us to be self-made. It teaches us to be independent. It teaches us to be self-sufficient. It teaches us that we don't need anyone, that we just need to work harder, that we just need to earn more, that we just need to build bigger, that we need to store up enough that you'll never have to worry again. But here's the problem. Even people with everything still worry. And they still get anxious, and they still feel worried, and they still feel depressed, and they still feel frustrated, and they still feel like they lack, because security isn't found in having more. Security is found in knowing that God holds everything, including our tomorrow. And some of you need to hear that, because some of you are wondering what will happen tomorrow. Some of you are praying and asking God, when would things turn around? When will things get better? How would this relationship change? How will my marriage get better? How will I meet the next bill that comes my way? How am I going to continue to provide for my family? God, how am I going to make it through this sickness and through this diagnosis? God, how am I going to live another day? Instead of worrying about what's going on in front of you, we're worried about everything we have planned, and we're worried about everything that's ahead of us. And many of us pray things like, God, bless everything I've already planned, instead of, Father, give me what I need today. In fact, there's a prayer in the Bible where the author wrote, give us just enough that we never have to think that we can depend on our own, but we're constantly depending on you. See, one prayer comes from control. The other comes from trust in God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, give us this day our daily bread. And this verse is really simple, but every single word in this verse matters. It's one sentence, but every single word in that sentence carries a deep significance. The moment that he begins with give, not, hey, might you possibly, but give. Give us. It's almost like a command. It's not a question. It's a command. Why? Because Jesus needs us to understand that when we understand that God is our Father, that God is our King, we have surrendered unto Him, we have devoted unto Him, we live a life of worship where we bring honor and glory to His name, and His name is exalted in every aspect of our lives, and we're living for the glory of His will. We could have this confidence to be able to enter into the presence of God, knowing that our entrance into His presence is not a bother, is not an inconvenience, is not going to be something that we get pushed away for, but we can come boldly before His throne with confident access. Why? Because we are His children. And therefore, just like your child can walk into your room and be like, Dad, can I have 20 bucks? Many of us might go, for what? Not just giving you money. but they know they're safe to come in. They know they have an access that strangers don't. So Jesus says, you first start with give. You see, everything, we need to understand that everything in this journey with Christ and even in our prayer life begins with the grace of God. You see, Jesus doesn't say, hey, I hope that I could earn, or he doesn't say, hey, let me take, or he says, please give. He says, give. Everything good comes from God. And God invites us into his presence to make requests for the things that we need, because everything good comes from him. In fact, the book of James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above. Our jobs, our health, our strength, the opportunities that we get to walk into, the breath that is in our lungs. We often think that we provide for ourselves, but who gave you the ability to work? Who gave you your mind to be able to think and to create? Who opened that door for you to be able to walk in through it, into that job opportunity, into that promotion? Who allowed you to have the home that you live in? Who created the opportunities for you to be able to accomplish anything in your life? Who sustained your body to be able to get to work every day? You see, everything ultimately comes from God. And we must acknowledge that. And prayer is actually acknowledging that. That everything I need comes from him. That everything my soul needs to thrive and to flourish and to be the person that God created me to be and to walk in the things that God created me to walk in is found in him and in him alone. And it's offered to us by his grace and his goodness and his mercy. Everything ultimately comes from God. And prayer reminds us of that reality. Number two, I want you to notice that Jesus doesn't teach them to pray, give me. He doesn't say, give me. Hear my cry. Hear my prayer. Answer my petition. He says, give us. We covered this a little bit when he said, when he introduced the prayer with our Father. Why? Because prayer always takes us outside of ourselves. You know what the problem is? Many of us pray selfish prayers where we are at the center of every petition, of every desire, of every request. It's all about us. Why? Because our entire world and our entire universe is all about us. But what God does is he challenges us to step outside of ourselves, to step outside of our own comfort, to step outside of our own desires, to step outside of our own will, and to focus on others and to pray for others. Why? Because prayer shapes our hearts away from selfishness and selfish ambition, because God never intended Christianity to be an isolated relationship or religion. When we pray, we must remember not just ourselves, but others. Pray remembering that struggling family. Pray remembering that unemployed father. Pray remembering that single mother. Pray remembering that person that just got the diagnosis. Pray remembering the widow, the missionary, the persecuted churches in other countries. Pray remembering the hurting neighbor. Why? Because our prayers grow beyond ourselves. If all you do is pray for yourself, can I just encourage you? Maybe you should cool it. I wonder what would happen in your prayer life if you started praying for other people. I wonder what would happen in your own life and in your own heart if you started praying for others. He says, give us, now watch this, number three, this day. Now, Jesus doesn't teach us to depend on God for the year. He doesn't teach us to depend on God for the month. He doesn't teach us to depend on God even for the week. He says, give us
this day, because our dependence on God needs to be something that is daily. That's why prayer has to be a daily occurrence in your life. That's why it has to be a daily practice in your life, because every day you should be on your knees and on your face depending on God to do something, depending on God for something that you need, depending on God for who you are. You see, Jesus invites us into this daily dependence on him. Notice that it's not yearly, it's not monthly, it's not weekly, it's daily. And dare I say, it would be even hourly. Why? Because relationships happen daily. Imagine me telling my wife of 17 years, which we just celebrated. I'll take it. I did that one because I wanted to clap. No, I'm kidding. Imagine me telling my wife, hey, I'll talk to you again in 6 months. I mean, didn't we just talk 6 months ago? Imagine me coming home and she's like longing to be with me. And I'm like, hey, we just talked last week. Come see me again next week. Maybe that's the problem with some of your relationships. I don't know. Because can I challenge you with just the reason we might treat our spouses that way is because we treat God the same way? Imagine me telling my wife, listen, I already talked to you 6 months ago. We'll talk again in 6 months. Relationships do not work that way. Neither does our walk with God. God wants a daily communion with us where we daily trust him and we daily make prayers unto him. We daily surrender unto him. And watch this. That's what he says. Give us this day our daily bread. You see, this phrase points us directly back to Israel in the wilderness when in Exodus chapter 16, every single morning, God would send manna to the people so that they would have food to eat, just enough manna to make it through the day. Not too much, not too little. If they gathered extra, what would happen in the book of Exodus? If they gathered extra for themselves, the Bible says that what they gathered would rot. In fact, I would even challenge you to say maybe the things that aren't working out because God's not allowing them to work out. Maybe God is pushing you into an environment or a space or a moment in your life where he's asking you to trust him a little bit more deeply. Because maybe what he's doing is he's asking you and he's trying to teach you that the faith the things of tomorrow require the faith of tomorrow. And that today, you need to believe for what God is doing today and trust him in what he's doing today and know that every need, listen to me, every need, I'm going to say it again, every need, not want, not pleasure, not comfort, but every need. You know why? Because the Bible says that they that trust in the Lord shall lack no good thing. The problem with churches is that we have taught people to believe that everything your heart desires and everything you want and everything that brings you pleasure, God wants you to have it. And that is simply not true, because some things that bring you pleasure are pulling you away from God. And you need to trust God for the manna of today. Because God wasn't only feeding their stomachs. He was teaching them to trust him. And tomorrow's bread would arrive tomorrow. But today's bread, what is enough for today? And every sunrise became another reminder of God's faithfulness unto their lives. And you just need to remember that the fact that you woke up this morning is another reminder of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. The fact that you were able to make it another day the way that you did is a reminder of the goodness and faithfulness of God. The fact that you and your wife got to wake up next to each other another day and you didn't end up in divorce today is another
reminder of God's mercy and grace unto your life. The fact that you've got breath in your lungs. My kids get frustrated and they roll their eyes because I'm like, hey, what are you grateful for today? And they're like, I don't know. I don't really have anything to be grateful for. Really? You don't have clothes on your back? You don't have a bed to sleep on? You don't have a roof over your head? You don't have food in your refrigerator? Every single day of your life, look at creation itself. Look at the fact that the rooms around you, look at the people around you, look at the relationships around you, and everything in your life is a reminder of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. I'll even say myself, just looking around the room and looking at you is a reminder of the goodness and the faithfulness of God. We get so focused on what we do not have that we cannot appreciate what we do. Jesus is reminding us that he is faithful. And Jesus is reminding his disciples of that story when he talks about the daily bread. You see, the audience would have remembered the time and the months and the years in the wilderness where God provided for them day in and day out. And the reality is that what Jesus is trying to teach us is that God still provides today. Now, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what it is you're lacking, but I can tell you that God is still in the business of providing today. And he's still in the business of meeting our needs. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34 says this, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for today is its own trouble." You don't have to worry about what is or will not be tomorrow. What you need to focus on is what is and will be today. Because should the Lord tarry, you'll have another opportunity. But if the Lord in his goodness and in his mercy decides to return today, you're also good. Because you will stand in eternity and you will step into eternity where there will be no more sorrow. There will be no more lack. There will be no more bitterness. There will be no more frustration. There will be no more suffering. There will be no more stress. And it will be the fullness of joy and peace and love and tranquility in everything that Jesus is and everything that he has. You see, Jesus is trying to remind us that today's grace is sufficient for today. God gives grace one day at a time, mercy one morning at a time, strength one battle at a time, and provision one step at a time. Number 5, he says, "Give us this day our daily bread." You see, bread represents more than just food. It represents everything that is necessary for our lives. It represents food. It represents shelter. It represents wisdom. It represents strength. It represents peace. It represents health. It represents provision. Why? Because God cares about our spiritual needs and our physical needs. Sometimes Christians almost feel guilty praying for the practical things. But notice what I just said. The practical things, not the selfishly ambitious things. You see, Jesus didn't do that. He specifically taught us that God cares about the groceries, and he cares about the rent, and he cares about the medical bills, and he cares about the school tuition, and he cares about your employment, and he cares about your car repairs, and because he is our Father, and good fathers care about the needs of their children. But there's something even greater that Jesus is trying to communicate here, and that is that bread throughout Scripture points us beyond physical provision. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, it reminds us that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see, then Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 35, "I am the bread of life." Meaning that physical bread satisfies temporarily, but Jesus satisfies eternally. You see, you can have a full fridge and have an empty soul. You can have a full bank account and have an empty soul.
You could have a full home and have an empty soul. You see, the greatest need that every person has isn't more money, it's Jesus. That's why when we come into spaces like what we came into this morning, you don't need the provision. You need Jesus. You don't need the health. You need the Father. Because if you have him, you have everything you need. If you have Jesus, you have everything you need. And if you don't have Jesus, you have nothing at all in this life. You see, physical bread, it satisfies temporarily, but Jesus satisfies eternally, because only Jesus satisfies the deepest hunger of the human heart. What daily bread teaches us is that daily bread teaches us humility, because it can't provide everything. Daily bread teaches us gratitude, because everything I have came from God. Daily bread teaches us contentment, because God gives me what I need for today. Daily bread teaches us trust, because tomorrow belongs to God. So what does this look like for you? First, it means you need to bring your real needs to God. You see, some people think that God only wants spiritual prayers, and that's why we combat this idea of seeming religious and repeating yourself and uttering all kinds of empty words, because God doesn't care about that. He wants the reality of everything that's going on within you. You see, Jesus says to pray about the bread. Nothing is too small for God. Pray about your interview. Pray about your doctor's appointment. Pray about your children. Pray about your marriage. Pray about your bills. Pray about your anxiety. Why? Because God cares. The second thing is that it teaches us to pray daily. You need to have a daily practice of prayer. I'm not just talking about I go to work and I pray on my way to work and then I never acknowledge God all day. You need a daily discipline of prayer where you escape from everything and everyone and you set your gaze on God. And that needs to happen every day. Now, when it happens, it does not matter. That could be the beginning of the day, middle of the day, end of the day, all three moments in those days. It does not matter. What does matter is that every single day you are at his feet. Not only when disaster comes, not only when you find yourself lacking, not only when you find yourself depending on something, not only when you need a miracle, not only when you need him to do something at your job, not only when you need him to get rid of Pastor Jose. No, you pray to him daily. You don't just eat breakfast. You pray at breakfast. You begin every morning and you say, God, give me everything that I need to honor you today. And on your way to work, God, give me everything I need to honor you today. And when you come out of work, God, give me everything that I need to honor you tonight. And in that way, you're doing what the Bible tells you to do, which is to pray without ceasing. In fact, the Bible says this is the will of God, that you pray without ceasing, that you rejoice in all things. The will of God is not confusing. It's written in the book. Number three, you stop carrying the worries of tomorrow. Listen to me. You have no control over what happens tomorrow. You don't even know if you will live tomorrow. That is dictated by the sovereignty and the goodness of God. Some of you are so weighed down and you feel so distant from God and you feel so confused and so scared and so anxious and so worried because you're worried about something you cannot control. In fact, you know what fear is? Fear is faith in something that hasn't even happened yet. That's why when people say, oh, fear is the opposite of faith. No, it's not. It's actually faith in the wrong thing. Because you have faith to believe that the thing that you think is going to happen, or the despair you think you're going to feel, is actually going to happen. What if you instead you reverse that faith and put it back in the thing, actually not even the thing, the person that you're supposed to put it on, and that is God himself. Stop allowing fear to carry you, or to like stop allowing fear to weigh you down with the anxieties of tomorrow. Some of you are so exhausted, not because of today, but because you're carrying next week and next year and 10 years from now, and God never promised you grace for tomorrow. He promised you grace for today. Number four, I want you to look for God's provision. You see, sometimes God provides miraculously. Sometimes God provides through a paycheck. Sometimes God provides through the church. Sometimes God provides through a friend. Sometimes God provides through unexpected opportunities. But every provision ultimately comes from him. Start recognizing every single opportunity that God uses to bless you. And then number five, ask yourself, am I hungry for Jesus? Or am I hungry for his blessing? Because for some of you, hear me when I say this. A lot of times we think that what causes people to fall away from God are the negative things that happen to them in life. When a lot of times it's actually the opposite. Everything you consider a blessing has grown to grab a hold of your love and your devotion and your affection and your attention. And so sometimes God doesn't answer your prayers because he knows that the thing that you're asking for, you're asking with the wrong motive, and you're asking and it will pull you away. You see, it's not the valleys that often pull us away from God. It's actually the mountaintops. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. That guy you used as an excuse to fall away from God because you've been praying for someone in your life, and then the enemy sent somebody in your life and you thought it was a blessing from God. And now you wonder why you're living in compromise. That job you've been praying and asking God, God, give me this job, give me this job. And God has given you, you know why? Because the moment you get it, you stop coming to church on Sunday, you stop disengaging, or you stop engaging with small groups during the week, and now you're far further away from God than when you didn't have that job. Are you in love with Jesus, or are you in love with the blessing that you want? And ask yourself, would I still seek him if he never gave me another earthly blessing? You know what one of the toughest questions my pastor asked me when we were going through one of the hardest seasons of our lives? Many of you know the story of my wife and I. We struggled with infertility. And the boys that we have, my son Josiah, who plays the drums, and Micah, who walks around here with a camera. He's sitting in the back there. We struggled with infertility. We had them through IVF. What many people know, maybe some of you don't know because you're new to our family. When they were born prematurely. My wife developed preeclampsia, and they were born at 34 weeks, and they spent the first month and a half of their lives in the ICU, in the NICU and PICU. We brought Micah home. Micah caught what's called RSV. Many parents know what that is, but for you, those of you who don't know what that is, it's common cold for us. It's a very deathly, deadly thing for kids who are born prematurely. So Micah ended up catching RSV. He ended up back at DuPont Hospital, intubated for 10 days. Intubated for 10 days. The doctors got to a point where they said, Jose or Natalie, we don't know what's going to happen. We have given him all the medication that we can give him, and his body doesn't seem to be responding to it. All we could do is pray. You know what one of the most difficult things that my pastor had to sit across from me going? Hey, we've got everybody in the church praying. There's churches in Chicago and all over the U.S. praying for your child. But let me ask you, will you still love God if he never heals him? Hear me when I tell you, that is not a lack of faith. It's a test of faith. Will you still worship him if he doesn't heal him? Will you still think he's good if he doesn't heal him? Will you still think he's faithful if he doesn't meet your request? I thank God that my pastor sat across from us and asked us that very difficult question. You want to know what the answer to that question for me was? Absolutely. But it doesn't mean I'm going to stop praying for my child. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop believing. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop making the request. It doesn't mean I'm going to stop banging on heaven's door, asking him to heal him. In fact, that very weekend, I went home after my wife called me in tears. And she said, Jose, I can't do this anymore. I don't know how I can continue doing this. The doctors don't know what's going to happen. The patient next door just died. The mom is wailing, and I cannot do this anymore. That night, I fell down to my knees as God is my witness. This is not an exaggeration. I had Josiah home, and I was feeding him while crying for my wife and crying for my child. And I lifted my prayers to heaven, and I said, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but by this time next week, I want to see my child home. I want to hold him. I want to feed him this bottle because you have promised me these children. But even if you don't, you're still good. And I will still give you every ounce of worship that is in my body. And I will weep and I will cry while I'm doing it. Ask yourself, will you still love him? Will you still seek him? Will you still worship him? Will you still acknowledge him? Will you still pray to him? If he never did another thing for you, why? Because the greatest thing that he could ever do for your life, he already did. And you need to wrestle with the fact that he isn't simply the one who gives bread. He is the bread of life. He is the one that satisfies. He is the one that nourishes. He is the one that keeps us breathing. He is the one that not only gives us life, provides life, and allows us to live this life. Now imagine what would happen in your family if you lived with that devotion. Imagine what would happen in this church if we trusted God with that kind of faith. Imagine if we became that kind of church that trusts instead of worries, a church that shares because we recognize everything belongs to God, a church that notices that people in need because we're praying, God, give us our daily bread, a church that celebrates God's provision instead of taking it for granted, a church that wakes up every morning saying, Father, everything I have is yours and everything I need comes from you. Some of us, we need to stop striving, we need to stop worrying. We need to stop pretending. And that's the fact that's why Jesus invites us, every single one of us, to come as children to a loving Father and make a simple prayer, which is give us this day our daily bread. And every time we pray those words, we're declaring, God, I trust that my Father knows what I need, that he loves me completely and will faithfully provide according to his wisdom. Everybody stand to your feet and let's bow our head and close our eyes. The band could come up. Now here's what I'm going to tell you. Carmen, I want you to go stand in that corner. Neff, I'd like for you to stand in that corner. Where's Erica? Ramos, she left? Oh, she had to go to work. Okay, we'll allow it. Okay. Babe, go stand in that corner. Huh? Amaryllis? That's fine. Jeff, even if you wouldn't mind, would you mind praying for people? Okay. You don't mind? He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm just kidding. Just stand right there in the back corner. That's fine. Listen to me. The temptation will be to leave this room because you're in a rush to get to lunch, or you're tired of hearing our voices, or you're tired of singing, or you just rather be somewhere else. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Fight against that temptation. I know for a fact that in this room, there are, I would say at least 95% of you have something that you're believing God for. I don't know if that's provision. I don't know if that's for God to restore your marriage. I don't know if that's for God to heal you from a sickness. I don't know what it is, but God knows what it is. And here's what I'm going to encourage you to do. And please don't make me to be the preacher that tells the ushers to lock the door. I'm just kidding. We'll never do that. Because if you leave here and you don't do this, you're the one that leaves without ever having received a need or a prayer. But I'm going to encourage you to lay down your pride, to lay down your self-sufficiency, to lay down even all your comfort or your complacency or even your fear, and go and see one of these people. Carmen, you can stand a little further back by the, that way. We got room. Love you so much. And you go and see one of these people, and you let them pray for you. And you be honest about what it is you need from God. Because hear me, I believe that we're going to begin to hear about the miracles that God is doing to meet your needs. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to allow the worship team to sing, and you're going to have an opportunity to go see one of these people. Do not rush out of this place. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you that you are a God who sticks closer to us than a brother. God, I thank you that you are our Father, that you love us deeply. And as a father, you are concerned for every single need in this room. And so God, right now, I rebuke every lie, every voice, and every whisper of the enemy, asking people to just walk out of here and leave, and that they don't need to do that, and they don't need to see these people, and they don't need this prayer. But God, I pray that you silence the voice of the enemy right now in Jesus' name. And I pray that the voice of the Spirit of the living God would rise up with even the whisper. God, teach us to hear the whisper within the chaos, leading us to righteousness, leading us to trust, leading us to obedience. And right now in this room, we ask God that every petition that is brought to you, that you in your sovereignty, in your goodness, in your mercy, in your grace, and in your kindness will not only hear, but that you will answer. Incline your ear to us and move on behalf of your people. We ask all these things in Jesus' name.